I've never had the perfect figure or the perfect smile or the perfect hair.
This is WGCT's What It's Like, where people share just that. We're starting with face-to-face talks gathered in Jacksonville by StoryCorps, the nonprofit that travels the country recording conversations between people. Then I, Lindsay Kilbride, follow up with additional interviews, getting a deeper look. This episode is based on a conversation between 44-year-old Jessica McCormick and one of her three teenage daughters, Winter, a high school senior.
My name is Winter Rose McCormick. I'm age 17. Today's date is November 21st, 2018. The location, Jacksonville, Florida. And I will be speaking with my mother. How's that, Mom?
That is not how Winter normally talks.
I read it in my radio announcer voice. I knew that she was uncomfortable, and that's why I started out with something chill, and it made her laugh, and then she relaxed a little bit.
Winter goes to an art school, and her concentration is performance theater, which fits perfectly with her personality, because sometimes she'll start singing in public or dancing outside in the rain between her classes, and she's also really open, especially with her mom.
We do a lot of voices, and we do a lot of silly faces and stuff. She introduced me to the movie Alien. And we like to make fun of the alien face from the movie, so we'll jut our jaw forward and go, I'm the alien from Alien. I'm coming for you. I love her. She's the sweetest.
But being close means they share more than just sweet moments. Winter's mom and dad are divorced, and her mom said her daughters had witnessed some pretty serious fights between them when the girls were younger. Now she's trying to guide her daughters through their relationships.
I'm apparently a really naive and gullible person when it comes to males, and I've realized that I give in to too much, and then it comes and bites me in the back because I believe them.
What do you think they want?
Well, I know what they want, and that's why it's not worth it. That's why it's not worth it to even try to get through to them, because they're going to give you if they give you any emotional part of themselves, it's fake. It's made up. It's make-believe. They don't want to give you any real anything, and it sucks.
Not letting them too far in is wise. You know, people pushing you, wanting you to do things, trying to get you to do things that you're not comfortable with. Mm-mm. You have every right to say, nope.
But that's the problem. There's certain things that guys do to get you to give them whatever. It's very manipulative, and it sucks because, yeah, you can't say no. I say no all the time, but then where do they go? Away, because they all want one thing. They all want to get it, and if you're not going to give it to them, then you're not interesting anymore. So what am I here for?
Her theory was backed up by a recent encounter with a fellow performer she met at an open mic night.
You know, he's like, what's your Facebook? Let me, you know. So I gave it to him, and I was like, hey, cool. Because he was in his 30s, mid-30s maybe, and he seemed like a cool guy.
Keyword seemed, because then he asked her for sex. Winter told her mom about that incident just yesterday.
It was so upsetting to me on a visceral level. Like, I felt it, and I was like, ooh, if I could get my hands on that guy, you know, and I had all these things that I wanted to say to her. And I wanted to say, see, I told you so. And, you know, this is what I've always told you would happen if you, you know, but I had to like put on the brakes. And I'm sure that I said some things because I could feel her tense up. And so I had to kind of back off of what I was wanting to say to her and think about it from her perspective. And I just had to thank her for being honest with me.
When you were a kid, would you have ever asked your parent or a mentor about this kind of thing?
No way. I felt sheltered, and I felt ill-equipped to kind of deal with life as an adult when I hit adulthood. I promised when I got pregnant that I was going to be as honest as possible with the kids so that they would have that. And so I tried to be age-appropriate with it, right? But probably gave them some more information. They've thanked me for it, you know, as they've gotten older, but I gave them information that kids their age probably didn't have.
Still, that hasn't prevented Winter from feeling pressured and used by boys.
It makes me feel gross. It makes me feel ugly and just, ugh, you know, disgusting. Like, why did this happen to me? Why do I have to remember it?
Do you and your friends talk about situations like that at school?
I actually did tell my friends about the situation, these situations. I can say plural because, I mean, there's been multiple, but they kind of didn't take it seriously, you know? Mm-hmm. Sometimes they would be sympathetic, and sometimes they would get mad and be like, oh, I'm going to go kill him. But the most recent experience that I've been privy to has been being laughed at, being ostracized. Why did you make that decision? That was stupid. I just wish that maybe somebody had said, man, you know, and been able to relate to me on that level, but not really.
But do you think that they can relate to you, but they're not open about it?
There could be a possibility for that, though sex is not taboo, especially with high schoolers. It's a joke, you know? I mean, people do it, but it's still, even in high school, it's still too funny. I just don't think that even as seniors in high school, that they're mature enough, or we're mature enough to really talk about it, I mean, as adults.
You know, it's so hard to be a parent because you always feel like you're doing it wrong, and there's no real manual. I just try to be honest with them, but I don't want them to feel afraid of relationships.
Something else that's been hard for Winter is being bullied since middle school. Not everyone gets her, and she mostly brushes it off now. She said she'd actually call herself pretty fierce, but like most teens, her insecurities, they're still there. She opened up to her mom about that in the StoryCorps booth.
Everyone around me is society's spitting image of a woman, you know?
You mean your peers? Everyone at school?
Peers, yeah. I mean, I think that all my friends are beautiful. But I have a problem with comparing myself to people. It's really bad.
Well, it's really good that you said you think all your friends are beautiful, because
I've met
all of your friends and they all have
different
looks, and they're not carbon cutouts from magazines.
Yeah, they're beautiful inside and out, but I compare myself to that.
Mm-hmm.
But I've never had that. I've never had the perfect figure or the perfect smile or the perfect hair.
Which one of your friends has?
Who does? A lot of them do.
Well, it's an insecurity thing. It's a thing that seems to run in the women of our family, you know, not knowing our worth.
I was talking to my other sister about it. We went out to dinner before the play that I had to go see. We were talking about our sizes, and she's always been small,
mm-hmm.
skinny, always. And having an older sister who's that size and being the size that I've always been, it kind of hurts because she is that image. She's small.
But it's like looking
attractive.
It's like looking at Mae West versus Twiggy. You know, it's like, okay, everybody's beautiful in their own way. You just have to find the folks you want to be around, the personalities, because our bodies are going to come and go.
She doesn't seem confident about her appearance either,
mm-hmm.
which is what hurts. If she's not confident in that body, then...
Tells you a lot, doesn't it?
Then
why beat ourselves up over that, you know?
But that's what hurts me, because if we ourselves don't feel beautiful, then what is... are saying that someone else is beautiful, what is that worth?
We talk a lot, so I knew all about the insecurity issues. And I think that I even fed into some of those because, you know, I was raised with a mom who was, I don't know if this will get aired or not, sorry, mom, who was cheated on. by her husband, and it drove an insecure thing inside of her. So for years and years, she felt like less than beautiful and less than desirable. And that sticks. And then she's looking in a magazine and saying, well, that suit's great, but I sure would like the body to go with it. And those little comments stick, you know?
What's been the hardest part raising teen girls?
Yeah, doing it as a pretty much like on my own, as the only parent that's really there all the time and consistent, that's been hard. And financially, that's been hard. You know, wanting to give them things that you can't give them is hard. I'm trying to be very open. I'm trying not to shut them down if they want to talk because, you know, I want to be able to guide them. And I want them to feel not judged about stuff they do because I've been there.
What is your favorite memory of me?
There are a lot of them. My favorite memory was you when you were deathly, deathly ill. And I'm talking flu sick with a rash all over your face and a sore throat and you could hardly talk. And you went up on stage and performed in that play, in that one of those lead roles. Like you were just not sick. Like I would have never known you were ill at all. And you like carried the show. And it was amazing to watch somebody be that dedicated to something and that talented at something that they could carry that off.
Aww.
And I don't think a person like that should ever feel insecure about anything.
This is What It's Like, a production made possible by supporters of WJCT. This episode was based on a conversation recorded by StoryCorps in Jacksonville, Florida. It was produced by me, Lindsay Kilbride, with editing by Jessica Palumbo. Subscribe to hear more episodes like this one.
It wasn't so much that I felt guilty, I felt like it was impossible for him to love me.
I love you.
I love you too.
Thank you for listening to NPR.